Well, in my opinion, the most vulnerable country in Europe is France, and France has a critical network with Brussels as well. There are a number of individuals who are being released from jails who share extreme ideas, and open borders have allowed them to pass a lot of material and gather this material in cells. So France is a big risk. Having said that, the United Kingdom, where I'm based, is also a big risk because of precisely the same problems, which is that we have had a number of people arrested for terrorism-related issues, some of them for extremism and extremist views as well as terrorist-related issues, and they are due to be released or have recently been released, and they have a kind of celebrity-like, cult-like status for when they used to be part of much larger networks like Al-Muhajirun. So these are areas where we have to be very careful. There is a strong argument to be made that these individuals have been released too early. Many of them in the United Kingdom have only served half of their sentence, which means that they have served less of a sentence than, say, a common criminal. So, and they present a huge threat. So as a result, our state resources are being spent to an enormous degree in monitoring these individuals and ensuring that they're not meeting people to spread their ideas, because they will be struggling to remain relevant unless they're able to spread their ideas like they once did at their peak. So in my opinion, the two countries to really focus on would be France and the United Kingdom.
What's your view on the risks to the United States and the likelihood that there will be another large-scale or at least significant attack like there was in 2015 and later on?
I think there is a risk to the United States. We have to remember as well that there have been, last year, there have been some far-right attacks as well that occurred in synagogues and that occurred in critical spaces where people were meeting, held by views that troubled these individuals, and so they wanted to commit acts of violence against them. Having said that, I think the risks posed to the United States are very similar to those posed to the United Kingdom. You have to monitor your borders to ensure that material is not being brought in that could pose a potential risk. That includes, of course, in the U.S. and like the U.K., guns are much on a different scale because we have gun laws here. But, I'm talking about things like ingredients for improvised explosive devices, who is carrying information from which networks to other networks. And I think a lot of tactics have been put in place to ensure that in critical areas such as airports and train stations, these things are not allowed. So I think there's definitely been an evolution in that. Having said that, I think another area that the United States is interested in and needs to continue to focus on is where the money is going in order to fund a lot of these operations. So we've seen the lack of the prominence of Islamic State, which is a great thing, but that doesn't mean that we have to stop paying attention to where perhaps money is going to other organizations such as Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, and they have very good ways of doing this without a paper trail. Originally, this used to be the hawala system, and now that's been replaced by Bitcoin and other currencies that individuals can use without a paper trail. So just like other countries, this is an area that will require greater attention in order to ensure that institutions are not being exploited by criminals and terrorists to move money around and to get the materials they need to conduct attacks.
Nikita Malik, Director of the Center on Radicalization and Terrorism at the Henry Jackson Society in London. J.J. Green, WTOP News.